This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We're covering a couple of organizations, a two-part program today, starting off with Wildlife Safari and Sarah Vickery, the education supervisor. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, get close to the microphone there. And first of all, how long have you been at Safari?
So, I've been at Safari for about over a year now.
And what led you to take the job?
Oh, I love the area, and I love the idea of the animals being out and about and having their own space, combined with that education aspect of getting kids into the program. I just love that.
Now, what was your background before this?
I worked at the Houston Zoo. I got my master's degree in a focus of nonprofit, so I got to kind of figure out how to run programs and then jumped into animals, and here I am.
What did you find unique about Wildlife Safari, maybe versus what you were doing in Houston?
Yeah, so I get to be hands-on with animals and the public, which I really love. I love people and I love animals, and you don't get to do that in a lot of zoos. You're either behind the scene or you're up front, and here at Wildlife Safari, I get to be in all of it.
Now, when you were still in Houston, how did you hear about the job?
Oh, man, I just looked at all the job postings, and this one caught my eye.
And had you ever been out here before?
I hadn't, nope.
So did you take the job before you came?
I did. I took a risk.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's living on the edge, but you're younger, so that's that's the time to do it.
Yeah.
And what was your thought on day one when you hit the entrance gate?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, lots of nerves. But day one, I hit the entrance gate, and I said, oh, my gosh, this is such a beautiful park. It's gorgeous. The animals are well taken care of, and the people are really friendly. So I was like, okay, you can breathe.
How long were you there before you did an actual drive-through?
I did it on my second day. Yeah.
And had you ever seen anything like that?
You know, there's something out in Texas called Fossil Rim Park, and they're pretty close, but they're just, this place has something special. It's really beautiful and really animal focused. So.
And what was it about that led you into this whole area of a career? I mean, with a master's and everything, you've got a, you know, you've really invested a lot.
Yeah. So I'm really passionate just about bridging the gap from animals to people and getting people involved and creating that empathy for these animals that you don't get to see. And, you know, you're going to the mall, you're going to the movies, you don't see them up close. And I think getting people up close to care about these animals so we can take care of them better, breed them better and support that is just something I'm super passionate about.
Now, you've got a lot of staff out there. What's a typical day like for you as education supervisor?
Oh, wow. So we got to do live check, make sure everyone's healthy, up, moving. And we do all our medications for our older animals. And then we get all the food taken care of, cleaning. And then we got to sit down education. We also got to do all of our programming. We got to prep for that. We have a lot of cool programs. And then we kind of wrap up the day with training sessions and more of that cleaning up, feeding out, and medicating.
And let's see here, with some of the things you do in education, is it more working with like for school groups when they come out, or do you do some of the taking the animals to the kids?
Yeah, we do both. So we have outreaches where we take the animals to the schools, libraries, programs like that. We even do some nursing home outreach, which is really super cool. And then we also do the programs. We do where the kids come in, and we have what is called our safari school for homeschool kids. And then we have a camp program and junior zookeepers where they get to learn how to do what we do, and they get really close to some are really cool animals, and they make diets, they clean with us, they help us all day. So,
and you've got these ambassador animals that, because not every animal goes out and meets the public.
Right, right.
So how do you pick which animals are appropriate to be ambassadors?
Oh, that's a great question. So a lot of times it can depend on the temperament. It can depend on the safety or the social need. For example, ODFW, Department of Wildlife, Fisheries and Wildlife, reached out, and they had an opossum, and it worked out that we could take him on board. We learned his personality, and we said, you know, there's these standards set forth by the AZA, which is Aquariums and Zoo Accreditation, and we checked those standards, and opossums make good ambassador animals. And then it's an animal we can teach people back. This is in your backyard. Don't be scared of it. They're really great. They can't get Lyme disease, and they can't get rabies. They help keep those ticks down. And so how can we educate the public, and is this animal comfortable doing it?
And, of course, the animal's got to be able to fit in one of your vehicles.
Well, you know, we get cheetahs. We take cheetahs out. So
Right, but you know, for instance, the rhino's not going out.
Well, you know, probably not. Probably not. You got me there.
So let's talk about some of the events that are coming up at Wildlife Safari. You've got a Valentine's dinner next Friday. Wow, that's an early one.
Yeah, it is. We're trying to get people out a little early so you can still have that night in. But yeah, so we're super excited. We have some animals you typically would not get to meet in the park. They are those ambassadors that stay behind the scenes. And so you'll get to see some of them up really close. We have some really interactive games. We have some prizes available. Some are some animal paintings from those animals that you will get to see. And then some are some really cool prizes for maybe some dinners and stuff. So, yeah, we're very excited. You can sign up online February 7th, and it'll be a good time. It's a good dinner.
So. And so that is, let's see, tickets for that, you can sign up online, right?
Absolutely. You can sign up online.
So spring break, gosh, I can't believe I even said that on the radio. Spring break.
I know.
It's, I mean, it, technically right now we're at about 8 weeks out, but people have got kids at home trying to figure out what options you should do with them. What kinds of things do you have going on?
Amazing. So we are actually have programs from 3 years old all the way up to 17 that we can do with kids. We're introducing the new age group of 3 to 5 this year for spring break, and it is 2 days. And then we also have camps for the 6 to 8 age and the 9 to 12, as well as for the first time at Wildlife Safari, we are bringing our junior zookeeper program into spring break. So they actually get the opportunity to come during spring break and learn about those seasonal changes that they're not seeing during the summer. What are they doing, and how are they coming out of hibernation? And so they get to learn about that. That's kind of what we have during spring break to offer.
And are those like most of the day classes?
Yeah, so the younger ages do 9 to 11, and then the older ages will do 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And how do people get signed up for that?
So you can go to our website and look under the Youths tab, and you can kind of see the different camps, classes, and junior keeping there.
I would imagine now, have you done one of these before?
I have, yeah.
What did you think of it?
I love it. It gives kids a chance that I never had growing up to step into the field and get this first connection and this experience that you just can't get anywhere else. They get up close with things like skunks, opossums, prairie dogs, cavies. They get to go in with some of our raptors. They get to do some really, really cool stuff that you just don't get to do otherwise.
And I imagine that getting for somebody it's in that age group, getting this information, I mean, they can learn a lot more than they just can, you know, with their parents on a drive-through.
Absolutely, and a lot more than you just get at a computer. And nowadays, those resumes, are really want you to pack it in early. So these are things that you can already put on your resume.
Now, let's see here. What about, do you have any overnight options for young people?
Yeah, we have a really great program this summer, overnights. It is just for scouts. And so what they get to do is they come in and they'll do a lot of cool programming, get close with some ambassador animal encounters. They get to do the drive-through at sunset where there's no other public. They get to do a campfire with s'mores, and then they get to sleep at the park. And actually, it's really cool. A lot of people don't know. Our lions roar first thing in the morning. They do this thing called caroling, and it's super loud. And they get to wake up to that, and it's a really cool experience.
If I woke up to that, I'd probably be really nervous.
It is a little nerve-wracking. You see heads start to pop out of tents like, oh, what's going on?
Well, but I've been out there in the evening, and when you hear that, I mean, you know where they are. They are not anywhere near interfering with you, but it is pretty cool to hear them late in the evening, or I'm sure early in the morning as well. Let's see, what else is going on that you want to let us know about?
Yeah, we just have a lot of amazing events and programs coming up, and the faster you can get registered, the better, because they always fill. Our overnights fill, everything fills up, but we also have some really cool things that we're doing with accessibility at the park that we're really proud of. We're trying to make the park a lot more accessible, friendly for wheelchair and those of us who are a little less mobile in our life. And so our petting zoo is getting paved. We opened it up, super excited, and the public kind of gave us some feedback. And we said, great, awesome, let's make it more accessible. And so we've done that, and we should be having that open in the next couple of weeks for people to come check out.
Now, what are the hours currently for doing the drive-through or coming to the inside area?
Yeah, so the drive-through and the inside area are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Last car can go through at 4 p.m. And then we kind of close that gate. We close them behind everyone. And same with the village, kind of just that last walk-through. We close and sweep at around 4 o'clock.
All right. Sarah Vickery, Education Supervisor at Wildlife Safari. Wow, a lot going on. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County. It is 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock on Monday's program. We're back live from Salem, and State Senator David Brock Smith with an update on what's going on with the Oregon State Legislature. Two-part program today. Going to talk about Umpqua Valley Arts. Ashley Cliver, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
So how was the reception last week?
Oh, it was really, really fantastic. We had some great turnout. We even got to have Georgina Ruff, who was the facilitator for MFA Northwest, come by to talk a little bit about the organization that is MFA Northwest and talk a little bit about the show. The opening receptions are always very relaxing and laid back, but still lots of fun with all the visitors we get. So it was a great success.
Now, MFA Northwest is what?
So MFA Northwest kind of is an abbreviation basically for Masters of Fine Arts and Northwest. So the goal behind MFA Northwest is to facilitate these Masters of Fine Arts students, technically who are most commonly in more urban areas. They want to support them in the first couple of years right after their MFA. They receive that, which is a really critical time for exhibitions and getting your career going. But they also wanted to connect them with other organizations in more rural communities just so that they could spread a little bit more of what they're doing into these areas that don't see the MFA works coming out in current times.
So how are they connected to your current show then?
So the artists that are participating in the show were selected by a jury that MFA Northwest, the organizing organization, selected.
All right. So tell us a little bit more about what the current exhibits are.
So we have MFA Northwest. That's in Hallie Brown Ford Gallery. That show is titled Subject. We also have Joy Kloman's Epoch in the rest of the corridor. So anytime you're walking up and down our hall, you're going to see Joy Kloman's brightly beautiful colored pieces. We also have Muggsy's Imagination by artist member Margaret Muggsy Kolb in our Red Door Gallery. That space is reserved to showcase the current work from our members. And she was selected. She has these beautiful detailed pen and ink, hand-drawn, keyword hand-drawn because they're extremely detailed, mandala-style drawings. And then down in Gallery 2, we have Rostros by Orquídea Violeta. She's a Portland artist. This is textile work, and they're textile portraits that she has put together.
Wow. And when can people see the show?
You can see that up until March 14th. And actually, there is a very important special event that we have planned for this exhibition that I'd like to share with everybody. So February 21st, we have a panel discussion called Subject Body Language, and that is going to be the 21st of February from 5:30 to 7:30. This is a free open house event, which is it includes a panel discussion of exhibiting artists from MFA Northwest and others. It will explore language and artwork and how words, definitions, and terminology can inform work and how it's received. It's a really special event that's a really great education opportunity. It's free. We encourage anybody who would like to engage with the work a different way to definitely attend.
Wow. And what's the date for that again?
February 21st.
And what time?
5:30 to 7:30.
All right. And is that free or?
It is free.
All right. So what else is going on you want to let people know about?
We have some education opportunities coming up. In our youth ed, we are continuing our Kinder Art program. For anybody that is not familiar, that is an after-school program on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. 3 days a week, students 5 through 8 can come and do art projects, spend their afternoon times exploring different mediums, and just having a good old time really building their confidence and skills as artists. That is coming up another round in February. You pay per month, and there's more information on our youth education page on our website at uvarts.com for that.
What about the clay place?
Yes, you were just reading my mind. So we have a new term for Clay Place coming up soon. Registration for the spring term is going to open February 18th for UVA members and February 25th for non-members. Our terms run 8 weeks about, and it includes classes for anybody who's brand new, lots of studio time for any new or experienced artists that want to really make some great work, and we encourage everybody to check it out on our Clay Place page on our website.
And what's the new name going to be?
The new name?
Of Clay Place.
There's no new name. It's going to stay the Clay Place, the same it's always been.
Okay, I thought you said you had a new name there.
Oh, no, it's a new term.
Oh, term. Oh, well, see, term, name. Okay, there we go.
It's that terminology getting to you.
Yeah, it did. It's been a long day. You guys are really busy. What other things are happening?
Oh, gosh, we have plenty of exhibition opportunities that are going to be ramping up soon. Two that are open right now is we have our exhibit proposals, which is where artists can propose solo or group exhibits for the coming year. We're accepting them for 2026, and that is a really good opportunity to get your work shown, get your breakout solo exhibit. That's actually what Margaret Muggsy's show in Red Door Gallery is it's her first solo exhibit. So if anybody's interested, that's a great opportunity. We also have the Artworks Northwest Biennial. Just a quick story, this is a biennial that's been going on for 10 plus years. We have grown it to be a show that goes across all of our galleries, and each year we invite a special curator to come and select the work. This year's curator is Charlene Liu. She's an artist, printmaker, and educator up in Eugene. And this is a regional exhibit. And it goes everywhere from as far north as Alaska and British Columbia down to Northern California. It includes also Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Western Wyoming, and Western Washington. So it's a pretty big deal.
Wow. So the fact that folks can see that versus having to go to one of those locations is pretty cool.
Yes. It's a great example of the types of works being made in the region right now. And so it ends up being a really big show that hits up all of our galleries and fills all our galleries. And being part of it is a really a chance to be part of that example and display of the current works happening right now. We're accepting submissions for that right now up until March 28th. So artists have a chance to submit up to 5 pieces each with their application. So it's a really good way to just get your work out there and be part of a really big known exhibit.
Couple minutes left. What else should you let people know about?
Our hours are back to normal. I know some people, we've been on the radio since we've opened up our normal hours again, but things get a little crazy around exhibition transitions. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And we're also going to have some more exhibits coming up soon in March. So during those open hours, come see the current works after March 14th. We're going to have another opening reception. I believe it's the 21st with brand new exhibits. And if you ever want to come by and talk about volunteer opportunities, summer arts festival, exhibitions, education, anything, feel free to come by and talk to us. We're open door policy in that respect.
And mention summer arts festival, kind of some of the things we ought to know about that.
Oh, gosh. We're also another opportunity. Thank you, Kyle, for reminding me. So we have applications open for art vendors, food and beverage, and entertainment. Keyword entertainment. We would love to have more community acts apply. So if you are a community act in Douglas County, please feel free to submit an application. We take dancers, we take singers, musicians, acting. We've had magic, I think, a couple of years ago. I'm not sure what year we did, but I remember seeing that we've had magic before. So if you have a talent you want to share on our community stage during our big event, our biggest one of the year, definitely go apply at uvarts.com.
And, of course, you bring in artisans not just from the local area, but folks from quite a ways away.
Yes, we do have regional opportunities and national opportunities for both artists and acts. So our main stage is for regional as well as national acts. And then we accept applications for art vendors and even food vendors from across the region. So there's an opportunity for everybody, no matter where you're at.
And if people want to find out more, what's your website?
UVArts.com. We have lots of different web pages at the top that'll direct you right to where you need to go.
All right, Ashley Kluber from Umpqua Valley Arts, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.